Anyone who has flown probably knows this terrifying scenario. The seatbelt light flashes and the plane begins to shake and shimmy.
Hold on to your drinks. Remain seated with your seatbelt fastened. We've hit some turbulence. Usually it's a minor, if terrifying, part of travel.
But last month's severe turbulence was blamed in the death of a 73-year-old air traveler on a flight from London to Singapore. Dozens of other passengers were injured. Thankfully, though, turbulence is rarely life-threatening.
But scientists report that turbulence is getting more common and intense due to climate change. We explore what it's like to be in the captain's seat through rough air. Captain Dennis Tager is a veteran pilot for American Airlines based in Chicago and a spokesman for the union that represents its pilots. Captain Tager, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Well, thanks. It's great to be with you. Let's talk about the weather.
Let's talk about turbulence. It can feel like just a few bumps in the flight, but it can also be quite violent and terrifying as a passenger. How scary is it for you as a pilot to encounter heavy turbulence?
Well, scary isn't the word. It's something that we know that the aircraft are designed in a way that endures turbulence that is beyond your wildest imagination. The key is to not become a pinto bean in that can of an airplane that can handle this and have that seatbelt on. We got a lot more going for us nowadays with technology, but the most critical piece of technology is that seatbelt connected to you. If the airplane can handle it and you're attached to the airplane, it's going to be unnerving, but you're going to come out of it unharmed and maybe just have a story to tell versus a hospital visit.
Is it more difficult at all to control a plane when you're flying through turbulence?
It can be. In what we call light to moderate turbulence, moderate is uncomfortable. Everyone knows it. Maybe the captain comes on and says, hey, the ride's going to be uncomfortable here for a little bit. It's the severe turbulence that can cause the aircraft to have difficulty maintaining airspeed. I've been in severe turbulence. I've been fortunate that no one was injured, but airspeed can accelerate and drop off. These are these massive gusts of wind created by a variety of things, depending on the situation. So the bottom line is that the severe turbulence situation that I recall most vividly was we lost about 20 knots of airspeed at altitude at 35,000 feet. That's a lot of airspeed to lose. So not only were we dealing with the severe turbulence and the shock and awe of that, because it was not expected. We don't fly into that type of air knowingly. We had to maintain the airspeed on the aircraft so that we didn't stall. So we had a pretty quick descent and got the airspeed back in line while we were basically escaping the severe turbulence. But that's the most critical threat to an airplane in severe turbulence, is the loss or massive gain of airspeed, which can cause the aircraft, while being held together structurally, you've got to man the controls and effectively fly it through that break in smooth air.
As we talk about speed, I'm thinking earlier this year as the American Airlines plane hit a speed record of 840 miles an hour. And I'm just wondering about jet streams and tailwinds pushing planes at higher speeds. Does a plane's speed affect the way it responds to turbulence?
And what you're referencing is ground speed, something that's up in the air. If there's a tailwind relative to the ground, it's going to show you're moving across the ground very fast, or the opposite if it's a headwind. The aircraft really doesn't care what your ground speed is. It just cares what the airspeed is, the air over the wing. That's what creates the scientific, not the miracle, but the science of flight. However, those very strong jet streams, which we seem, and clearly you can debate the reason as to why the weather is the way it is, the source of it can be a political debate. But the bottom line is, for pilots, we know that the weather systems are more powerful and are more frequent. So when these jet streams happen along the edges of it, if you're not sure how air works, think about water. Very fast moving water along the edges where it's not as fast, you're going to have these eddies, this disruption in the air. It's just like that. And we are trained, we have technology to manage that, to look at the predictive nature of it, and also live reports. So it all comes into the aviation space, which is ever changing, and it behooves us to be ever learning. and ensuring that we're keeping people safe.
Yes. What is the communication around turbulence in your circles of pilots and air traffic control? I mean, how is turbulence monitored and measured?
I've been doing this for over 3 decades. It's changed. I don't even have a metaphor. It's literally a completely different world. The predictive ability based on actual reports and then overlaid into the models is extraordinary. On top of that, and most importantly now, I literally have an iPad app that is like a crowdsourcing for all aircraft. Imagine if you had your iPad in a holder in your car and you're going over potholes. It sends a signal to everybody else on the road, don't take the left lane. We have that on the airplanes. Other airlines have it as well. I use it all the time. I used it yesterday. And I can literally see live where there might be a tunnel of smooth air to descend through as we come into, say, Chicago O'Hare or Madison, Wisconsin. It's extraordinary. It does not take away the seriousness of respecting Mother Nature, because surprises can happen. It can change in minutes, but it gives us an idea of what others are seeing, feeling minutes before us, both in altitude and in the lateral and left and right. So our awareness, our technology, the science behind it, and people just wearing their seatbelt, you can get through a flight. And if you have severe turbulence, let it just be an unnerving story you tell at the dinner table, not from your hospital bed. And a seatbelt makes that difference.
Some scientists believe that turbulence is getting worse, and there's a researcher in England expecting clear air turbulence, which is found at high altitudes, that could triple by the end of the century. From your decades of experience, does turbulence appear to be increasing?
Absolutely. You mentioned clear air turbulence. The definition of that is when there's no other convective, no thunderstorms around the area. That exists. Mountains can help cause that. They can actually have mountain wave. Think of this. You're at 30,000 feet and going over the Rockies. If there's a heavy jet stream, like the water, it's going over the rock, can cause types of turbulence called mountain wave. But clear air turbulence certainly is on the increase in intensity and frequency. The air around a storm, just flew around a big storm around Dallas, and we were 40 miles away from that storm, clear air throughout the windshield, off to the right, a big storm, radar showing us, onboard radar showing us where it was and where the turbulent air was within that storm. But there was still a burble from that storm that led to seatbelts on and a please remain in your seat. Not a severe turbulence event, but we were in the clear air. So it's all of that aggregated together. And yes, it's more powerful. Yes, it's more frequent. Is this a cycle of the globe? Is this something else going on that we can, you can talk about in other shows? As pilots, we don't really care why. We just care how do we deal with it and how do we keep people safe.
We are talking with Captain Dennis Tager, a veteran pilot for American Airlines based in Chicago, and looking at all of the different aspects of turbulence, how it happens. Captain Tager, is turbulence influenced whether you're flying over Wisconsin or any other parts of the country or world for that matter? Is it any different from one place to another?
It is. It's always been. There are certain areas that have more activity and depending on, how our blue marble turns and its seasons. But I have noticed, and I don't have the data other than my life experience in this, and most recently, right on through southeast Wisconsin. Anybody listening here knows the storms have rolled through on a northeast vector and built up at a rate and an intensity and frequency that I have not seen in a long time, particularly this spring. Down in Texas and in that area, there's been just it's a factory of intense storms and winds. For instance, down in Dallas, they had winds up to 80 miles per hour. We had an airplane that was on the jet bridge, brakes parked, and got blown sideways. I've not seen that before unless someone's out there covering a hurricane. So, it seems to be happening in certain regions more frequently. A scientist could explain why that's accurate or what making that happen, or perhaps it's just an anecdotal misread. The bottom line is when I'm on the airplane, I'm not thinking about why. I'm thinking about how do I keep my people safe. And by the way, for many folks who think, well, can't you just go above it It looks clear now. We know where the storms are likely to build. And if they're building low and they seem like we can just go over that, those storms build at 6,000 feet per minute. May not mean a lot to you, but an airplane doesn't all climb that. And by the way, as it's boiling up, the clear air above it is extremely dangerous because it has these updrafts. So I get it from passengers, you know, why don't we just go over it? And I go, well, it's not the way this works. It's great to engage. But man, we know a lot about the weather, and we have people that support us, dispatchers and weather experts, that add to that. And all that comes together to keep people safe, along with the airplane being built to endure things that you would never see in a normal flight.
So, Captain Tager, what protocols do you follow when you encounter turbulence?
Yeah, we actually have particular airspeeds when we know the ride is going to be more difficult. It's manufacturer guided. And if you think of it, you know, and you have potholes on the highway, you know, let's go right up to the speed limit. You reduce your speed. It helps ease the bumps. That's been around for a long time. But one of the most important things, I'm going to say this to get attention, is to not have that seatbelt on. What does that mean? It means that when you don't need the seatbelt sign on, that sign should come off. You should always wear your seatbelt when you're seated because things change quickly. But what we've learned over the years is that if the seatbelt sign is on all the time and you're in smooth air, it normalizes that it's on all the time. Hey, I've got to use the restroom. I'm just going to get up and go. So we have changed the way we communicate that seatbelt sign. We fight to get that sign off so that it means something when it's on.
What about babies in laps? How do you keep them safe?
Babies in laps, that's a commonly discussed item in safety. Flight attendant unions bring it up frequently because they're right there. I don't have an answer. Certainly a car seat is a better way to go. They're strapped in.
In terms of the plane itself, as we see older and older planes flying through turbulence, are there any concerns there with the wear and tear on the planes themselves?
No, not on its face. I know what you're getting at. You know, the older the airplane, like the car, maybe it doesn't endure the turbulence as well. As long as the airplane is maintained and properly inspected, not just a quick look over, but, and I'm not just talking about after a severe turbulence event, because it's mandated after an event like that, an airplane must be inspected. And that often takes it out of service. It grounds it for a short period of time. But the ongoing maintenance, we are flying older airplanes longer because companies like Boeing are not delivering the new ones to us. So it's incumbent on the airlines and the FAA to ensure that these older airplanes are regularly inspected to the depth that matches their age.
Do they need to be made with stronger parts, more durable, to deal with a longer lifespan and then growing severity of turbulence?
I think they're made strong enough now, but they've got to be maintained. And you can't just fly an airplane for several decades and do a quick brush over check. They do have heavier checks. Those checks are often done offshore. It's another thing we're fighting. Bring that back home. Do the detailed checks with good oversight, not just delegated review by the FAA, but the FAA actually being there and saying, now let me check what you just checked. That's something that we're very concerned about now, because the oversight from the federal government has been less than spectacular. Let's just call it what it is. It's been horrid. And that is changing now, but it's got a long way to go.
Captain Tager, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It was my pleasure. Fly safe.
Captain Dennis Tager, pilot for American Airlines based in Chicago and a spokesperson for the Allied Pilots Association.